Welcome to another episode of Fight the Burnout. Today we have a special guest coming in from Central Florida. He's active duty police sergeant. But before we get started, let's talk about why we're here. We are here because we all want to help eliminate, or we want to stop burnout within ourselves or our agencies. Burnout is an epidemic at the moment. We're losing officers faster than we can hire them, both to resignations, but also, we're seeing the stats of suicides going up. When you are burned out, you're more likely to suffer from PTSD, and we don't want that. We want to be able to process what we're dealing with so that we can help the community even more and at a higher level. If you are looking for assistance yourself personally, or your agency is looking for help or wants some guidance or insights on how to fight and counteract that burnout, please do reach out to us at createfromy, that's W-H-Y, .com, or you send us an email at createfromy@gmail.com. So without further ado, let's introduce Steve Sweeting. He is from Central Florida, active duty at the moment. He has wrote a book about street stoic, ancient philosophies, modern policing, which is available on Amazon, which we'll talk about here further. But before we go into that, let's hear a little bit about who Steve is, what he's about, where he's worked, what he's doing, and tell us a little bit about the stoic system. I'm not familiar with it at all, so I'm looking forward to this. Okay. Get your pen, get your piece of paper, everybody, and make sure, I always say this, make sure you take one thing away from this episode. Don't try and get it all. You can come back and watch it again. You can come back and listen to it again. Take one thing away and start taking action on it. We have the Google University. We have all the information out there, but nobody's taking action on anything. So just start taking action. Without further ado, Steve, why don't you take it away? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hey, Chris, great to be here. So like you said, I'm a sergeant in North Central Florida, and I don't say my agency because I am still working, and but I do give people hints. And so if you wanted to see a Tim Tebow statue or catch a good football game from a college university, or if you wanted to see an alligator in real life, you would probably come to my town, and I could probably show you those things within 2 miles of my house. So, yeah, I've been a police sergeant on midnight shift. I'm going on 18 years now, and we are a university town here, and I am in Florida, and it gets wild. And, so I've been on midnight shift the entire time, and I enjoy doing things like I'll do plainclothes burglary details and go out and catch burglars, because we have a lot of problems with that. All our students in town, they like to leave laptops and MacBooks and thousands of dollars worth of stuff just sitting in their cars. So I go out and try to put a stop to some of that stuff. And, what led me here today is my desire to help cops, help police officers out. I've been in it with you guys. I'm still in it with you guys. And I am a normal guy, and I have stumbled upon a philosophy and a way of living that just really helps us deal with law enforcement and everything we're going through right now. Because, just like the rest of you, if you've been a cop for the last 5 to 7 years, you are probably experiencing some burnout. You probably have a touch of PTSD, to say the least. And you've been hated on by the media. People are trying to defund you. There's a lot of misinformation going around about you. Probably a lot of your coworkers have quit, and you're probably dealing with way more crime than you're used to. You're probably having less funding, less training, and less coworkers to help you deal with all of it. And the coworkers that you do have are probably rookies, because everybody that had some experience or could retire took their ball and went home around 2020. So I was coming up in the middle of all this as a supervisor. I'd been an officer for a long time and just decided to finally get serious about promoting. Lucky me, I get thrown right into the fire, and I'm a rookie supervisor supervising rookie officers in the middle of difficult times like law enforcement's never seen before in this country. And I was looking for answers, and I was struggling. And I had read a couple authors that mentioned the Stoics and talked about Stoicism, but there was something in it that, the resiliency of it, which is really what I was looking for, is just a way to be more resilient. And I've been through a few critical incidents and unfortunate situations. So I was just looking for answers, touched upon the Stoics, went back and read some of the original source material from the ancient Greeks and Romans. And it was just a light bulb went off over my head. And I was like, wow, I can use this. This sounds like this is going to work for me. And I started kind of secretly applying it on the streets and in my life and not really talking about it or telling anybody about it. And, you know, being kind of stoic about it. And so, yeah, you know, just secretly did it. And my results were amazing. You know, at work, I was less bothered. I was more resilient. Things that used to would make me frustrated, or I'd have to walk away, or I would say something I later regretted. Like at the end of the shift, I'd be like, oh man, I shouldn't have said that like that to that guy. Or, you know, things I would do out of anger, that was all going away. Every single day was just a little bit better, you know, and it wasn't like some, you know, like overnight transformation. You know, it's not like a superhero story where, you know, all of a sudden, you know, the comet comes down and I get this superpower, you know, but it was a gradual turning of the dial to being, you know, a lot more mentally healthy and a lot more resilient and finding all these little hacks for life and all these little ways that, you know, I just never been taught. And so when it really clicked for me and when it really just started making sense to my brain and I was able to apply it in a lot of situations, you know, I did have moments where it was like, after the dust settled, it's like, wow, I handled that so much better than I would have before. And you know, that's even personal situations. So like I started paying a lot of attention to my physical fitness, you know, because part of it is intentionally doing hard things to build up that resiliency. So I undertook running every day. It's been over 290 days since I've taken a day off of running now, consecutive. And, you know, in the process, while I'm doing that, working on my mental toughness, I lost like 60 pounds.
Oh.
You know, I look better. My marriage is going better. My career is going better. My relationships with my coworkers, my family, my friends is all going better. And then at some point, I got really pissed off because nobody, you know, I'm 46 years old, man. And nobody had taught me this stuff. Why they didn't teach me this in the Marines when I could have used it, or in the police academy when I could have used it, or in supervisor training when I could have used it. No, I had to find this for myself. And yeah, I started getting annoyed that, you know, like, why hasn't this been ingrained in police officers from day one? And so I started looking for resources online, you know, Stoicism for police officers. And there was not much out there. It was very, very slim pickings. One guy, also a Florida cop, had written a book about Stoicism and police work. And he, I'm actually friends with him on like Instagram now. And his story is very autobiographical. He explains some of the philosophy and how he uses it and how he came to it. But there was not the guidebook that I was looking for. So I said, you know what? I've been a trainer for a long time. I went through all this myself. It's up to me to write the book. I now have a responsibility. And yeah, ever since that realization, I've been very, very busy bringing this philosophy to law enforcement officers because I do believe in it so much. So yeah, that's why I'm here.
I love that, Steve. I love it. There's so much stuff in there. Now, before we get into some of the philosophies and some of the key things that you use daily, because I think that'll be really influential and help a lot. And I know it's one of the reasons that you're here, because you want to, you know, you want to give those tools out there. And it's why you wrote your book and that. I want to, just so I get to understand, tell us about a time where you felt like, you know, maybe it was what led you into finding, you know, the Stoic side of things, and that is, what is it? Was there a time or an incident or a time in your career or marriage where you felt like you were burning out, like you were almost ready to check out?
Oh, absolutely. So my story is a little unique. I've had the opportunity to be awarded the Medal of Valor, not once, but twice. And the two incidents were probably about 9 years apart. So anybody who knows anything about law enforcement knows you don't get a Medal of Valor for an easy day on the job. And usually, you know, if you get a Medal of Valor, you just look at that person and go, okay, you got PTSD, right? Like that's, you know, you're confirmed. Check.
Yeah, there's,
you know,
some trauma in there.
Well, yeah. What is it, like the blue check? Like you're verified, yeah. You know? Yeah, like,
you get the Instagram blue check.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, and that's what it is for law enforcement. It's like, oh, you've been through hell. Wait, where is it?
Yeah,
there it is.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, And I have two of those. You know, most officers never even get one. And so the first one, I was about 3 years into my career, and I was a, you know, still shaking off. I wasn't quite a rookie, but I was shaking that off and working my way into being a senior officer. And I won't get into it. It was an officer involved shooting. I had to do an officer rescue and clear a house, and it was traumatic. There was, you know, a lot of gore, blood, and gunshots, and, you know, so on and so forth. And I did not handle it well. I'll tell you right now, Chris, I handled that moment. Yep. Well, you know, but
your training kicked in. Oh, yeah. And you did what you had to do.
Oh yeah.
But then afterwards,
I went full on Marine Corps infantry mode, you know, like I handled what I had to handle, and that was it, you know. And then what I wasn't ready for was, and nobody had really prepared me for it, was after. And I had a lot of mixed feelings about the situation. I made some enemies, you know. I started drinking a lot more than I should have, eating, you know, I actually ate a lot, you know, midnight shift, and you're trying to swallow some emotions. Like, it doesn't take long to just blow up and become incredibly fat. And, you know, nobody's going to tell you like, oh, hey, you should watch that. Or, like, that's not, you know, we don't come to each other and tell each other that stuff. We talk shit about each other behind our backs and be like, oh, Steve's getting really plump over there, you know. But yeah, nobody comes to you and says, hey, man, I'm worried about your health. So, you know, the whole time I have these feelings of resentment towards the officer I saved, even, because he put me in this situation, you know. And that was wrong. That was very wrong. And it was the wrong way to handle it. But, you know, it's a very natural, like, if you don't train your mind and you're not aware of these things, your subconscious will automatically go for blame. Like, it will blame what's right in front of you. And he was right in front of me, you know? So yeah, I had some blame for him in my heart, and, you know, I lashed out a little bit and drank a lot and, you know, became angry, you know, cause angry is another natural response to these kind of things. And isolated myself, drank a lot, gained a lot of weight, all those things kind of snowball and make you more depressed. And it took me a long time to crawl out of that funk. But after that, you know, I did read some books. I didn't want to wallow in it. I did realize, like, I wasn't proud. I wasn't proud of how I was handling things. And so, you know, I did some work. I did some self-improvement, which led to more work and more self-improvement. I happened upon an author named Ryan Holiday. And Ryan Holiday wrote Ego is the Enemy, The Obstacle is the Way, and several other mainstream books on basically stoic principles that can be applied to, you know, everybody's life, not just law enforcement officers. So I had already read his books and some stuff by Jocko Willink, and I was already starting to a little bit apply those concepts into my life. Like I said, this was a very slow turning of the dial for me. It wasn't an overnight transformation. So when the second incident where I won a Medal of Valor occurred, it was a car fire. There was an entire family and another victim. All cars were burning. I was able to save one person, and then lost everybody else, and did what I could. But that incident, there was a lot of death, a lot of, you know, gory kind of, you know, visuals that'll play in your head and stuff like that. But after that one, I was more well-equipped. I had done so much work, and I was in such a better place this time around, you know, experiencing what I would consider to be like a significant trauma, that, you know, I didn't immediately have to go start getting tanked, and I didn't lash out at anybody. I didn't, you know, there were actually officers there on scene before me that were, you know, they didn't want to go into the fire and the burning. And, you know, before I would have lashed out at them and blamed them and said, hey, you could have acted, but you didn't. But, you know, I didn't do any of that. You know, I tried to just exercise some understanding and forgiveness. And I didn't have to take out any time off of work. I didn't have all the negative repercussions. So I realized then and there, like, there's something to this stuff. There's, you know, just my response. Because that's all you can't control what happens to you in life at all. And we'll get into that. But all you can control is how you respond to things. And my response was one that I was a lot more proud of the second time around. And the only thing I changed is the books I read and the practices that I had tried to, you know, incorporate into my life. So that I could probably go on all that, because there's 10 times a day I use some little technique or skill or some realization from Stoic philosophy. And it's really cool now. You know, I've released a book last month, and it's in the hands of, you know, about 100 cops now. I'm not a bestseller by any means, but it is great. I'm starting to get the feedback starting to come in. You know, people have finally picked it up off the nightstand and gotten around to reading it and started trying one or two Stoic principles, you know, in law enforcement. And I love getting the little, you know, do you know Dan Rendering?
No, I don't know. No, yeah. I don't know.
So he is a police officer, and he became famous. He took a selfie during a hurricane and got to be known as the hot cop. Just so he's a male model type, you know, but he's also a SWAT guy and an active duty police officer. And he's a friend of mine. So he wound up parlaying his fame into being on the TV show Survivor. He's on a lot of romance novel covers. He does like photo shoots and, you know, does all the posing with a leather jacket on and, you know, all that stuff. And, you know, it's hilarious.
That's awesome.
You know him, you know, because he's just a good old boy, you know, from Florida. So but, you know, it's awesome. But, you know, I just spoke with him last night. He had finally gotten around to reading the book, and he was telling me a story, you know, about a situation he had in his life where he was getting angry and he was getting frustrated with somebody. And he said, "Hey man, you can't control that." And he's like, click. Oh, that worked. You know, I'm doing the stoicism. And he was so excited to come tell me that he did stoicism, you know? So
yeah,
I was
no,
really
that's
happy
awesome
for him. And yeah. So, but yeah, it's wonderful, you know, just to see that people are getting a benefit out of it and that it's making sense to other people. Cause you know, sometimes when you do something like that, like nobody's out there talking about, there's like four people that are out there talking about like stoicism and law enforcement and pushing it as hard as I am. So sometimes, you know, I'm like, okay, am I crazy? Am I like this Florida man, this bald headed police sergeant running around screaming about ancient philosophers? And, you know, am I insane? And you do doubt yourself sometimes, like, all right, how come I'm the only one that's like yelling about this? And
so Steve, real quick on that, real quick, sorry to interrupt, real
sure.
quick on
yeah,
that,
yeah.
Because I know I have, the more you talk, I kind of go, oh, okay, cool. It lines up with a lot of the stuff that I talk about around,
right.
you know, shifting your shifting your physiology, shifting your mental state, the communication that
Absolutely.
You use, the language that you use, the questions that you use on yourself, you know, the way that you're responding to things, the rules of that you put on thing on you know what has to happen for it to be successful for you, so on and so forth.
Right.
So tell us real quick, so that everybody, so the viewers, because you know, like me, I've heard about it but I don't know it. What is Stoicism?
Right.
And you know, yeah, what's the basis behind it, so that you know, listeners and viewers, you know, have an idea of that.
Okay, yeah, so Stoicism is a ancient philosophy. It's about 2300 years old, and it started in Athens in ancient Greece and then made the move over to Rome a couple hundred years later. So Stoicism is a philosophy. So it's, you know, it's not a religion, it's not a political ideology, it's not, you know, there's nothing in Stoicism that conflicts with, like, for instance, being a Christian or being a Democrat or being a Republican, or it's separate, you know. So Stoicism is, if I had to wrap it up in one sentence, I would say it's a philosophy for life. It is a philosophy that tells you how to live a good life and how to be happy regardless of external circumstances. So, you know, it focuses quite a bit on understanding what you can control and what you can't control. Focuses a lot on resiliency, building strength, building, you know, your own toughness, challenging your views on things, and being aware that your views on situations in life and what happens to you drastically affects your emotions. So you learn emotional control. And that's why you know, the word in English in today's day and time, you know, stoic means somebody who stares at you with cold, dead eyes and, you know, kind of like that stiff upper lip, robotic person. That's not what it is at all. That's lowercase stoicism. And I can see why people are confused because, you know, you are, once you practice this stuff and you make all these realizations and you use the techniques, you are unaffected by things that other people might freak out about. So I can see why, you know, they might throw a little shade at you saying like, oh, you don't have any emotions. It's like, no, I do. I just don't have negative ones. Or I do have those, I'm constantly at war with them. Yeah.
As I say with the teachings that I do, because I teach a lot of the same stuff and it's in line, mm-hmm. is you're training your body and your mind to be able to process things so quickly that you don't get affected by them.
Absolutely. Yes. It's, you know, it's a discipline, right?
Yeah. You're processing the trauma. You're processing what you're seeing, what you're feeling, and that to then go, okay, cool. Now what do I want to do with it for me?
Right.
Get affected by it, but what do I want to do with it?
Yeah. Here's the perfect stoic. The perfect stoic is sitting by the, you know, the side of the water. They're at the railing. They're taking pictures of the seagulls and they're having a nice day and they're just in the moment and enjoying life. All of a sudden that cell phone they're taking pictures with falls into the water. And that stoic goes, all right, that happened. And keeps on looking.
That sucked, but okay, cool.
Right. You know, all those stages of grief. You know, like, yeah. I don't even know what they are. Like, it's like you bargain and you get angry and blah, blah, blah. And then at the very end, you get to acceptance, right?
Yeah.
Stoics skip straight to acceptance because it happened, right? Like, no amount of arguing, bargaining, being mad, whatever you want to do, is going to change the fact that it happened. Now, how do I move forward? Right.
So I just flicked it into Google just so that we could clarify it up in a real quick thing. And it says, you know, sure. What is stoicism in simple terms? In simple terms, stoicism right. teaches yeah. us to focus on the things we can control, our thoughts, emotions, right. and actions, while accepting the things that we cannot, such as the actions of others or of the natural cause of events going on in the world around us. In other words, being in a state of bliss, being able to just That whole saying that I say a lot is I say, and I'm sure you say it a lot. It is what it is.
That's right. You know, and yeah, I believe Stoics, you know, were the first ones that basically, you know, it is what it is. It's, you know, and understanding that, and, you know, I've heard from so many people, you know, as I've gone around talking about stuff and teaching it and, you know, trying to get officers to adopt this way of thinking is, people have, you know, adopted this idea of, okay, that's outside of my control. I can only worry about what's within my control, which are, you know, my thoughts, my actions. People, you know, tell me all the time, like, that was the moment that realization transformed their life. That is what changed them from being somebody who worries about stuff that they can't change and that's irrelevant. And because a lot of anxiety comes with that. A lot of stress comes with worrying about things that you can't change, you can't affect.
Like, the what ifs, the what ifs, as I call it.
Oh yeah, coulda, shoulda, woulda.
Yeah, right? Coulda, shoulda, woulda, what ifs.
Yeah, yeah. That's the poison in your mind, right? Like that's what you dwell on, and that's what makes you miserable in life. This person should be this way. I coulda done that differently. Oh, if it just shoulda been different, you know. Well, great. That's all wasted time. You are wasting your precious time here on earth thinking about crap that you can't change and you're dwelling. So, you know, and I think a lot of times officers and just people in general need to hear it's okay to let it go, right? Yeah. It's okay to just, yeah, it happened. Take the L. It's up. Moving on, right? Like, you're not going to win that one. It's already lost. So,
yep. Yep. No, definitely. So I like to kind of break things down for people to make it, you know, real simple. Us cops, we're pretty simple people.
Absolutely.
We're pretty simple people that complicate things way too much. What would you say would be the three ways, like the three top like the three top things that you would like, if you could only give somebody, give a cop, give a first responder, three things to live by in order to live in a stoic way and live in that kind of bliss way. What would those three things be?
If I just had to pick three, number one, we've already touched on, and the Stoics call it the dichotomy of control. So that is understanding what's within your control, understanding what's outside of your control, and only spending time worrying about the things that are within your control. And if something is, I know, you know, I always get this. People say, Steve, there are things outside of my control, like, you know, my reputation. I understand I can't control what other people think about me, but I can influence that, right? Like, you do have some input on your reputation. Yes, but also somebody could start a false rumor about you and completely slander you. And so it's not 100% within your control, but also you can do things to make it better. So in these situations, these influence kind of, influence kind of, I'll come save you.
Don't worry, guys. I'm just dying over here choking. Water went down the wrong hole, and so I muted my microphone. Carry on, Chris, Steve. Sorry about that.
Chris, I don't even know how to dial 911 in New Zealand, okay? Like, I wouldn't even know what to do.
Yeah, that's fine, man. I'm okay. As long as I don't collapse, I'll be all good.
All right. So that's, the host dying while you're trying to record a podcast would be something that's outside of my control, right? So in that situation, as a Stoic, I would say, okay, I have some influence on how the rest of this podcast goes, but I need to internalize that goal. How I respond, how I act, make a joke out of it, make it funny, use it as an example to teach you some Stoicism is the appropriate way to go. If I get annoyed and go, oh, Chris, why are you being so, you know, silly on the camera? And, you know, I start thinking about all the negatives and it does nobody any good, especially not me. So that's the dichotomy of control. And basically what I'm telling you is if it's something you can influence, internalize that goal, you know, make it about you and not about the person. So if you want to be respected by others, be respectable. If you want to be promoted, there's a lot of factors there you can't control, but be worthy of a promotion. So the second one I would say is
jump into the second one. I was reading, actually it just popped into my head. It's a chapter in, I don't know if you've read it. Why is it just blanked my mind? I'm reading it currently. Think and Grow Rich.
Okay. I have not read that one. No.
Excellent book. And it talks a lot of the same, like a lot of similar stuff in there in different sections, but he was talking around, I think it was in Think and Grow Rich, around the fact of, you know, only focus on the things that you do have control of, and every morning actually make a list. What do I have control of? Do I have control? And, you know, make it really simple. Remember, I don't have control of the weather. So remind yourself, it's an easy thing to see. I do not have control of the weather. Okay, cool. Exactly. What do I have control of? I have control of whether I wake up or not, like whether I get out of bed or not. I have control of whether I get out of bed. I have control of how I think right now. Do I want to wake up happy? Do I want to wake up sad? Do I want to wake up angry? What do I want to think about? What do I want to focus on? And so it just popped a lot of that into my head. And I just wanted to reiterate around that is you have control of what you have control of, your mind. Yeah. That's literally all you have control of.
And, you know, it's so true. And Marcus Aurelius, the Roman emperor, he's one of the Stoics that I read. He wrote the book Meditations, which is if you read one book for the rest of your life, read this book. Not even mine, like read this one first. he says that the soul becomes dyed in the color of its thoughts. So, you know, sometimes I use a little bit of flowery language, but what he's saying is your thoughts determine your feelings and attitudes, your emotions. Understand, like, I don't think either one of us are sitting here telling people just suck it up or just be happy. If you're sad, just be happy. Like, that's not what we're saying. We're saying if you control what you think about and how you respond to situations, your emotions will follow along with that. And if you determine that you're going to approach this in a positive way, you're going to have positive emotions, right? Is that
exactly? It's spot on, you know, where we think about our energy goes to, where we think about we move towards. So we move towards that emotion. You know, if we think about the fact that the world is evil, and as cops, we can see how evil parts right. of the world are. But again,
yeah,
the control that we have over that is go, well, okay, who are we actually dealing with? We're dealing with the bottom 2 to 10% of society.
Right.
Every day, people calling us when we are in, when they do not know how to deal with the situation.
Uh-huh.
We have control over how we react to that situation and how we
Absolutely.
Process that situation and how we turn up and the person that we are and the person that we are afterwards and what uh-huh. we take home. We have control of that. We don't have control of the reason why they called us. We don't have control of
right.
what yeah. actually happened. There's no control exactly. there. All we have is how yeah. we react to it.
Yeah. And, absolutely. You know, that's exactly it, you know, and, you know, if you ever watched any of Jocko Willink or heard yep. any of the stuff he talks about. So the Stoic author, Ryan Holiday, interviewed him on a podcast, and I watched that recently. And, you know, it's not like a super widely known podcast or interview, but I always thought Jocko was a practicing Stoic, because you read his material and the things he says and you're like, oh, he's got to be a Stoic. So Ryan Holiday just kind of assumed, like, hey, you know, did you study the Stoics, whatever? He goes, nah, man, you know, I was just trying to figure out how to deal with my situation and handle doing hard things and keep this team together and be successful and, you know, live an excellent life. That's what I wanted to do. And, you know, they figured out, like, oh, they just kind of happened upon the same answers to the problems of how to deal with a hard life, right? And that's what we're, I think, doing here is—
That's what we're doing, you know, as well, yeah.
Right, we're happening upon a lot of the same answers to the same problems.
Yeah, so. It's interesting. We'll jump into number 2 and 3 real in just a second, sure. but it is very interesting on that topic. You know, there's a lot of different philosophies, a lot of different things out there. And, you know, Stoicism's one, a neuro-linguistic programming, which I'm a huge fan of, is another one. I've been talking with some mm-hmm. people around cognitive behavior therapy. There's, you know, there's all these different things, all these different philosophies and all these different modalities out there. But guess what? They're all very similar stuff.
Yep.
And they're all helping mm-hmm. you get to the same place, to live at bliss, to live at peace, to live a calm right. life where you're not emotionally all over the place. Yes, you have to have good and bad. We can't, or this sure. isn't what we're saying. We're going to get rid of one yeah, or the other. Right. But what right. you do is you process through each one so you don't, mm-hmm. what I call yo-yo, up and down consistently
exactly.
and in your life, which then causes you to do things that you regret later on and do things that you're not happy with. And, you know, this is a different thing. So I'm so glad that you're here, Steve, and you're talking about this stuff. Let's jump into 2 and 3. So first one, the dichotomy of control. What's number 2 for you?
I would say for me personally is a concept called amor fati. It's Latin and it means love of fate. So I actually believe in it so much. I don't know if you get, let's see here.
Oh, yeah. You got it.
You got a tattoo.
Yeah, I just got a tattoo. I love it.
You know, and that's the only visible tattoo I have because it's for Steve. It's for me to look at 100 times a day. And, you know, the concept is this, that whatever happens in life, those things happen. It for the second an event happens, it is in the record books. There is no there's no changing it. There's no such thing as a time machine. That is something we invented. It's an imaginary thing. There's no undoing something once it's done. All you can do is find a way to make it good. Find a way to turn a situation to your advantage. And pretty much, besides for grief or the loss of a loved one, loss of a human being, I pretty much challenge everybody to find a situation that can't be turned to some benefit, even if the situation just makes you stronger, or you just handle it in such a good way that you're a good role model for somebody who really needed to see that. If that's the very best you can get out of the situation. But, you know, normally I find I learn from something. I build a stronger relationship with somebody. I develop a framework of how to deal with this problem in the future or something similar in the future. Writing and doing articles and writing books and so on and so forth, talking on podcasts, everything that's so-called bad that happens to me, great, it's material. It is something I'm going to use, and I'm going to write about it, and I'm going to talk to Chris about it, and it's going to make my life better. So amor fati, yes, big one. It, love it all. Just embrace whatever happens and find out, like, we don't know why it's good yet, but it's good. We just have to figure that out.
It all happens for a reason.
That's right. And
it all happens for a reason. You know, I've trained a lot of people to become police officers in the last 5 years. And there's some that like will miss out on their fitness test, or they'll miss out on a academy class, or, you know, college class. And I'll be like, you weren't meant to be there. And they're like, oh, but I want to be there. But I was like, yeah, but you don't know if you had gone through and you'd been on that one and you'd come out, maybe you'd get involved in a shooting where you wouldn't make it. Maybe this is the universe allowing you to not be involved in that incident and actually live for a long period of time. You don't actually know what the universe threw at you.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
And we are horrible. Like, we think we know what's good for us, and we think we know what we want to do, and we don't know shit, Chris. Like, I always tell people, like, think about, remember that time you got broke up with and your heart was broken and it was the end of the world. And then later on, you met somebody even better, and that was the best thing that ever happened to you, when at one point you thought in the past, you thought that was the worst thing that ever happened. Or you dodged a bullet. The world had ended. Right. Yeah. You dodged a bullet. Like, oh my God, have you seen her? You know, it was 10 years ago, and then you see her, and, you know, she's a train wreck and such a mess. Yeah. And it's like, whoo, that could have been me, man. You know?
Yep. Like, yep. Exactly. Right? Exactly. No, I love it, man. I love it. It's so true. Amor fati, that's awesome, man. What's number three? Yeah.
So I guess for me, the third one is a concept called memento mori. And that is Latin, and it means remember that you're going to die, or the practice of contemplating your own death. And bear with me for 1 second, because I know I'm radiating positivity here, and then I'm talking about thinking about death. And why are we talking about
that? I know. I have an idea exactly where you're going with this.
Okay. So the number one, facing reality, right? We're law enforcement. We can't stick our heads in the sand and pretend like things that aren't. We can't be like the ostrich. We have to look at things head on. And one of the biggest existential problems most people have in their life is their own impending death, and the death of everybody they know and everybody they love. It's going to happen. And we tell ourselves all kinds of stories, and we have all these kind of hopes, and we, you know, we do all these things to avoid thinking about it. And the most healthy thing to do is accept it. And once you accept it, once you realize my days are numbered, I'm going to die. And like me, I'm 46 years old, right? Death isn't some point in the future for me, right? It's not someday. I've already half died. Like, I'm already half dead. Every day that is in the past is gone. Death owns that now, right? That's subtracted from the life that I was allowed. And I don't know when that is. Like, I don't know if tomorrow's my day. I don't know. I might not finish this sentence. Yeah, I could just go, you know, go out right now, or I could choke on water like you. You know?
I was just gonna say, you can choke on water, and, you know, and there you go.
But once you wrap your mind around it, and you know, there's an initial panic of it, like, oh no, I am gonna die. Oh, you know, these people I love are gonna die. My kids are gonna die. You know, everybody's gonna die. Once you get past that and kind of get used to the idea for 5 minutes, like, the panic goes away. It's not so, you know, sit with it and get comfortable with the idea, and then you start to learn some valuable things. Number one, don't waste any time, right? You have limited time on this earth. If you want to write that book, you want to start that podcast, you want to join that team or do, you know, achieve that goal or whatever, it's today. You better be going and starting today and doing something towards that end right now. Because we think, like, especially young people are ridiculous like this. They think, oh, I've got 50 years. You don't know that. You better go for it right now. So, you know, it encourages you to live in the present and also, you know, it encourages you to be mindful about, you know, the things that matter in life, right? Like, why am I worried about whether, you know, my neighbor likes my haircut, right? Like, oh, that, why does he wear his hair like that? You know, or what somebody thinks of my car. Like, we're both going to be dead in like 20 years, man. Like, I don't give a shit what you think of my pickup truck. Like, yeah it's old. Yeah. So what, you know, like that doesn't matter. I'm going to be dead in a minute, you know, like why would I possibly care about that? So it trivializes a lot of things that aren't important in the first place. And also, you know, thinking about like my family members, like this, to me, the hardest part of Stoicism was to accept the fact that my wife, I love my wife dearly. Like, she's my world. And accepting the fact, like, oh, she's going to die someday. Like, man, that was like, ooh, I don't want to think about that. That's too much for me, you know? But, you know, I thought about it. And part of it is the gratitude. You know, if I needed more reason to be grateful for her presence, is like, I have her now, I have her today. And I'm not, you know, when that does happen, I'm not going to look back and be like, oh, I wish I'd spent more time, or I wish I'd appreciated her while she's here. Oh, I already do, because I know it's going to end. And that's a lot of grief that people suffer, is regret that they didn't appreciate people while they were here. So yeah, man, you know, it's memento mori, is think about it, because it's going to happen. Don't waste your life.
Yeah. It's funny. We talk a lot of the same stuff. You just obviously you've gone, you know, you've got the stoicism side of it with, you know, the different phrases and that, but I talk about that same thing. Live every day like it's your last, man, because we are not guaranteed tomorrow. We are the lucky ones. We woke up this morning. Right. How many thousands of people didn't wake up this morning? Now I ride motorcycles a lot. I don't even own a car. My wife's got a car and I just ride a motorcycle. I got a little naked crotch rocket thing that's stupidly fast. And then I paraglide as well. And I've been paragliding with my dad since I was 18 months old. Before I could walk, I was in the air. And I fly in that, and I get people going, oh no, there's no way I could do that. You know, I'm too afraid of dying. And I'm like, I'm not afraid of dying at all. Like, the peace and the bliss that I get up there way outweighs if I died tomorrow. And my wife and I have talked about it, and like, the people ask my wife, like, you know, oh, you know, she just started riding on the back of my motorcycle about 3 years ago. And for ages, she wouldn't. And everybody's like, oh, aren't you afraid you're going to die? She's like, we just did a 7-day motorcycle retreat, took five people through the Four Corners area on motorcycles as a retreat. You know, and we did growth and we did mindset work and that along the way. And my wife's gone the back, and people literally asked her, well, aren't you afraid that, you know, you're going to die or something's going to happen? She's like, no, there's parts of it that I don't like. She's like, I don't like leaning over and I don't like going through the twisties. Right. But she's like, at the same time, she's like, one, Chris isn't going to put me in an unsafe position unless it just happens. But two, I want to go have fun with him. And so it's that whole thing of just living life like it is. And then on the back of what you were saying around family, my grandma, she's not doing so well. And actually, part of me coming back to the U.S. for the last 3 months when I was there running some trainings, that was to spend time with her again for that whole same thing.
Yeah.
Because tomorrow's not promised, especially for her. She's 87. She's on oxygen because of COVID. She's been suffering with high blood pressure. While I was there, she fell and ended up getting put into a home temporarily. And I remember I was sitting there when she first got put into the home, because I got home day after she took a fall. My cousin was helping. My cousin's a nurse and that at the facility, actually, now that where she's at short term. And I got back to Redding, back to Northern California, and I was there and I was with her and that, and they were talking about, you know, do you want to, you know, do not reset the DNR, you know, all these different things around, you know, if something happens. And I was standing there and I was like, wow, like, I'm getting emotional about this stuff, because this woman, pretty much, my mom was around and my parents were around, but then my mom was busy working and my grandma looked after her, my brother and I. And so she's like, you know, she raised me in a way. And I remember being there and I remember calling my wife afterwards and going, I don't know if I can do this. And she's like, remember, Chris, tomorrow's not promised. Go spend as much time with her while you're there. That's why you're here. And so again, that's that shift of, I could have ran away. And I found myself at times going down that road of, you know, being away from that and going, oh, I don't want to go, and being like, why am I avoiding going? I need to live in the moment. And so I go and I just literally sit with her. Sometimes we just sit and watch TV. Sometimes we talk about the different things that we've done as a, you know, when I was a kid and, you know, yeah, throughout the years. But it's that whole thing of live life like tomorrow's not promised. Because at the end of the day, it's not.
It's absolutely not, you know, and and it just, to me, it is, you know, if my time comes tomorrow, that's fine. Like I am, you know, I try to settle my accounts every day and not leave anything hanging. I don't, you know, if I got some beef going on with a family member, they're mad at me or whatever, I just apologize. I don't try to win. You know, I just, every day I'm ready to go. And I feel like that is the best way to live your life, because one day that's not a wasted effort, right? One day that was going to be the smart thing to do. And just having that comfort, that peace of like, all right, you know, my accounts are settled. I'm good. It's, it's not really about like going around and being happy and skipping and singing and being zippity doo-dah all day long. It's about the lack of stress and anxiety and, you know, like having peace. And a lot of the things we have anxiety about and stress about are things we should have done, we know we should have done, and things we should have settled that we didn't. So you're so much better, just even though that's a hard thing, rip off the Band-Aid, do it, get it done, and you'll feel so much better. So
I love that, Steve. All right, so this leads us into, I know you wrote a book about all this, and when it comes to law enforcement, tell us a little bit about the book, and also tell the audience where they can get their hands on it.
Absolutely. So it is called Street Stoic, Ancient Philosophy, Modern Policing, and it kind of looks like that. And the only place you can get it is on Amazon Prime, but it can pretty much be on your doorstep tomorrow. Do you guys get fulfilled in New Zealand as quick?
No, we don't get Amazon. We can get Amazon, but it's a little bit harder and it takes longer and the shipping's stupidly expensive.
Oh, okay. but in the States you can get it. And I'm still working on, like, I'm a first time author. I have no clue what I'm doing, and I'm learning it all as I go. So I told you guys, like, I said, oh no, I have to write a book now because this resource isn't out there for police officers and I'm getting so much value out of it. And so I sit down and I just start plugging away and I'm like, okay, how do I write a book? Like, I didn't finish college. I don't even have an associate's degree. I am a street cop. I was a Marine infantryman and became a street cop. Like, that's what I do. I do love to read. I've probably read more books than most people, but reading well and translating, that doesn't translate exactly to writing. So I just did this big ass discombobulated Google Doc and put all my thoughts on paper. And I started thinking, like, all right, the first thing I did was took, you know, those concepts we talked about, excuse me, amor fati, memento mori, a few more things, and it did the basics. So that's about the first third of the book. The rest of the book is just, you can read it in any order you want. And I'm going to get a sip of water. I was downtown last night screaming at people to get off the sidewalks and clear the parking lot. So I'm a little hoarse. They do not like to go home at 2.
No, they don't. I remember when I didn't want to.
Yeah. The first third of the book is basically the basics of Stoicism, and I break it down for cops. Yeah, I was an FTO for 10 years. I understand how to explain things to cops in a way that they're just going to get it. And then the rest of it is, just a random assortment of ways you can use Stoicism. And basically, I sprinkle in Stoic techniques into situations we deal with all the time. So, like, how to deal with getting insulted, right? Somebody's cussing you up one side, down the other, and you're trying to be professional. How do you not lose control of your emotions? Because that's where cops wind up at IA, get in trouble and do things they regret, right? Is they lose control of their emotions. So, let's get ahead of that. So, or, you know, you have a really bad day on the job. How do you deal with that? I did a chapter on, it seems like every month here in the States, some cop in some place I've never heard of shoots somebody. and some cop I never met that did something, if they would have asked me, like, hey, Steve, should I do this? I'd be like, no, don't do that. Do not do what you're about to do. But then I have a protest in my town and I am a bad guy because of what this moron did. Sometimes it's not that cut and dry. Sometimes people are being, overly critical and the cop was right. But a lot of times they do something stupid out of fear, panic, or emotion. And so I talk about that in the book. I talk about not wanting to be, we have this desire to be liked and this desire to please our supervisors and how that makes us miserable. And how to be internally motivated versus externally motivated. And just a bunch of little situations like that cops deal with, on the street.
Every day.
I recently wrote an article and, it'll probably be in the next book, but about, getting your reports denied. Like your supervisor doesn't like your reports and they hit deny on you for things that you think are petty. And how do you deal with
that?
But we deal with all sorts of little stuff that we can use stoicism for. So, and that's what the book is. It's just a law enforcement officer's guidebook to get started. And my hope is that I give you enough ammunition to start. And then once you get started, you'll go back and you'll read some of the source material and you'll, there's a lot of, it's a 2300 year old philosophy. There's thousands of books about stoicism out there. There's all sorts of stuff. There's people a lot smarter than me that have written about it. And my hope is that I spark that interest. I get the conversation started with you and yourself, and you understand there's a tool here for you. So that's the whole point of the book. And it's to help cops, but if you don't want to spend 20, my book's $20, if you don't want to spend the money, I think it's a cheap investment for something that's going to help you so much. But if you don't want to spend money, or you're like, you don't trust me, you don't know me, you don't trust me, and you say, look, you're just trying to get rich, you just found something interesting and you're spinning a story, I have created a website. The very first thing I did before I wrote the book, before I did anything else, was I created a website, streetstoic.com. There, everything I talk about, every bit of information I have is there for you for free. You don't have to sign up. I don't collect your email address. You don't have to pay anything. It is all free. There's a bunch of resources, videos, links, all of that. I link to other places. If you don't get it from me, get it somewhere. I don't care. I just want you to be happy, healthy, and feel better about the job you're doing. And stoicism is a great vehicle to get there. So 100% free, go for it. I have a newsletter that I send out for free. You can sign up for it at the website. And I just want to share this with other law enforcement officers. So
I love that, Steve. I love it. So so go check out on Amazon. We'll put the link in the description down below for the book as well. And also, if you want more information, go to streetstoic.com. And you'll find out all that. I know, Steve, that you did put a thing here. If people are interested in getting in touch with you, the best way is to send Steve an email. His email is steve at streetstoic.com, and super he'll get in touch with you. And it's real complicated. Steve at streetstoic.com. Reach out to Steve if you're interested in any of this kind of work or you want to learn more about it. Please definitely do. Steve obviously has got the backing, he's got two Medal of Honors and he's got, all the street cred, but he's also delved into this and started to apply it to himself on the street and helping. I'm sure you help all those that work, underneath you, that you lead and that with this as well. Because we can't not.
I've had some awesome success stories, especially in the realm of like emotional control, I've had officers that, their response was anger. They would respond with anger and frustration. I would grab officers and say, hey, let's go patrol this apartment complex. Let's go for a walk. And, 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm walking around with them in the middle of the night. And I'm like, hey, let me tell you about the dichotomy of control. Let me tell you, you're gonna die, bro.
We're all gonna die, bro. We're gonna die.
But I've gotten some people's ears and, a few of them, so I'm not pushy, you know, I tell you what I know, and some people see the value and some people don't. And the ones who have seen the value and tried to use it have done some good things and made some good improvements and shared stories with me that, you know, someday I'll be able to tell those stories, but right now I don't, you know, I don't have the permission, but it's helping everybody around.
No, I love it, man. I love it. It's great work that you're doing, so I appreciate that. Any last words of wisdom or ideas that you have for the audience?
You know, I think that a lot of burnout, you know, I was thinking about what I was going to talk to you about today. And honestly, I just spent the whole time talking about me, and I didn't even really address burnout very much specifically. And, you know, like I have like pages of notes. Like, look at all these. I was going to tell you all this cool stuff. I have all these quotes written down.
We'll have to do another episode because like, and you know, this is the thing with, this is the thing. And you touched on it real quick, Steve, sorry to interrupt, but you touched on it real quick. Even if somebody doesn't get it from you, you still want them to understand it from somewhere else. Absolutely. And this is the whole purpose of this podcast is that, you know, I have the stuff that I teach. I have the stuff that I know. I'm learning stuff from you today, which is why, you know, I was like, oh yeah, cool. I want to learn about this. I want to hear your story. I want to hear what you're doing. And I want to get your message out there because I talk about my message all the time. You can come to any of my social media stuff, my Chris Chandler Yates on Instagram, LinkedIn, TikTok. I talk about all the burnout stuff all the time. I do a little pre-shift tip of the day stuff. But at the end of the day, some people aren't going to resonate with what my stuff is. And so, you know, your thing about, oh, we didn't even talk about everything you talked about today. If you practice it, it will counteract and stop burnout.
Right. Exactly.
It's very similar philosophies that I talk about, but I talk about them in a different way. It will stop and counteract burnout because when you're in that energetic flow, when you are not fighting against your energy, when you're not fighting against your emotions, you're not fighting against your body language, your physical language, your thoughts, your, guess what? You have more energy.
Right.
Yeah. You're not going to burn out emotionally. When you don't burn out emotionally, you won't burn out physically. I mean, this man, Steve, has been doing 18 years of night shift. If somebody told me that for me to be a cop after 18 years of night shift, I would probably not sign up. But he knows how to do it.
Right. You know, it's no big deal once you accept it, right? You know, and having,
exactly,
having the power of acceptance, you know? So.
Yeah, and you create your schedule, you create all this stuff. Yeah, and so I love that, Steve. So sorry to interrupt. I apologize, but I just wanted to reiterate on that for the audience especially. These podcasts are about teaching you knowledge, give you something to take away. There has been so much today for somebody to take away just one thing and put it into action. I mean, you gave them three things specifically quickly to be able to do it. Right. So what were your last words? What did you want to add in there around the burnout side of stuff?
All right. So I'll just go with my first note. So I was thinking about it and I was like, all right, what is burnout? You know, cause I don't really think in terms of burnout normally. I talk more about, you know, stress and anxiety and those kind of things. And it occurred to me that like burnout is to me, what I see a lot is like this buildup. Cause like, you know, young people don't burn out so much, you know, it's older people that have been around a while. And I think a lot of times it's like this residue, you know, it's this buildup of past grievances, right? Like I've been wronged here. I've been upset there. I've been disappointed with this. You know, this didn't go well for me, or I had, you know, so many bad days. It's like this buildup over time. So I was like, what's one thing you can do? What's one thing you can do to like, just get rid of that buildup? And forgiveness, let shit go. Is what I'm going to say, you know, that's going to be my take on burnout is if you can just let shit go, probably you can knock out like half that build up right away. You can just, Epictetus, one of the main Stoic philosophers said, forgive others for their misdeed over and over again. This gesture fosters inner ease. And I think what, you know, he was saying was, you know, the act of forgiveness isn't even about them. It's about you. It's all that stuff that you're dwelling on, all that stuff that's holding you down. If you just forgive somebody else and you can let it go, it does you a favor. It's not even about them because they're probably not even thinking about, you know, that thing they did to insult you like 10 years ago that you're still hung up on, they haven't thought about it in 10 years, right? That's, you're the only one thinking about that. So let it go. So yeah, that's what I'll end with. Yeah.
I love that, Steve. You know, just let it go. You know, the definition of burnout, the Webster definition of burnout, is exhaustion or of physical or emotional strength or motivation, usually a result of prolonged stress or frustration.
Yeah, that's pretty close.
Why do we get stressed? Why do we get frustrated? Because we just don't let shit go.
Right. You know, I always tell people, you know, I won't get you your podcast blocked on YouTube, but I always say, be like that Disney princess and sing that song, you know, the ice princess, like, yep. You know, and just, you know, let it go.
It's so true. If we, and you know, everything that we talked about today is so in line with that. It is tools and strategies to help you let it go. To help you just be less stressed, help you be less frustrated, help you be in a zone of genius, a zone of flow. So I'd love to thank you for being on here, Steve. Before I wrap up, before we close out, any last words?
No, I think we'll leave it with that. I really appreciate having you, you having me on here today. And I'm so glad you didn't drown on camera and you didn't just make me try to figure out how to call 911 in New Zealand. Is it 999? What is it? Is it?
No, it's 111 here, but I don't know how you would actually call it from there.
I don't know, man, but I was going to try to save you. I was going to start Googling, but I'm glad that didn't happen. And I really enjoyed it. Thank you very much. And I appreciate it. I'll be glad to do this again sometime. So.
Yeah, no, definitely, Steve. No, we'll have to do another one a little bit more, you know, even more in depth with stuff. But again, everybody listening, thank you for being here. Thank you for watching and listening, however you are consuming this, because our mission here is to help stop burnout. And with stopping burnout, you then prevent PTSD, because when you're in a zone where you're not stressed out, you're not frustrated, you have an energetic abundance, you can process the trauma that police officers see every single day. If you're an aspiring police officer, reach out. We'll help you build and create the foundation so you do not burn out in your career and you love it for 20 plus years, you know, like Steve's doing. He's loving it 18 years in and having lots of fun still. We want you to have that. And if you're already a police officer, if you're struggling, if you want to learn more, just reach out to us, createfromy.com or createfromy@gmail.com, and we will help you out. Remember, take one thing away from today. Go take action on it. Drop in the comments if you so wish what your biggest takeaway was, so that others can see it and, you know, respond to it. And also, please, if you are open to it, share this episode to one person that you know could learn something from it, because that's how we help our colleagues. We help each other. We help our friends. If you're not law enforcement, you're not first responder, again, share it with somebody that is. And if you have command staff that want to learn more, that want to build on their department, want to help their department, stop losing officers, retain more officers, prevent burnout, just hit us up. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you very much. And till next time, remember, train hard, test easy, and stay safe out there.